For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness that with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the mighty word of your gospel, that there is no question in the gospel that your seed, that seed of the word, does not have an effectiveness. There's no question. Just like Isaiah 55, there's no question. Just as the rain falls, so your word has an effect. So Lord, we thank you that as we declare your word, both with our mouths and in our deeds, as we declare your word, it has an effect. It's efficacious. There's no question about it. And yet, Lord, Satan wants to convince us that it's just words. It's just vocabulary. It's just English. But yet we know, and our spirit testifies with your spirit, compounding the truth that we are your children, sons and daughters of God, that we can cry out, Abba, Father, that we have that relationship up with you that the world just can never understand. And we know that the word does produce a result. We pray today as we walk as your people, as covenant people and kingdom people, that we recognize that when we declare your word, it is going to bring about a good result, a great result, a sad result, or a bad result. But either way, it is going to be efficacious. It is going to have an effect. So help us, Lord, to recognize the authority that we walk in, who we are as representatives of the King, who we are as people who walk in your power and with your mantle as heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just broke a cardinal rule in seminary. I told you the whole sermon in the prayer. I guess it's that kind of day. Oh, there you go, yeah. Sharing the good news as children of God. Today, the lessons, if you heard them, and I shared with you in the prayer as I was praying to the Lord, because I do think it's a wonderful blessing. As you read Isaiah 55 and as you heard in the gospel lesson, there is no question, when you hear Jesus speak, that he is declaring that when the word is spoken, when the word is declared, when the word is shown through in our works and our deeds, when the light is shining and the salt is being spread, when we are the children of God that we're called to be, there is going to be an effect, right? You notice in the parable there, he doesn't say that the word just goes out and nothing happens, right? What are the four results that happen when the word, when that seed is spread out? Do you remember the four results? One, I would say, is a good result, right? One, I would say, is a great result. That's the one where it's 100-fold and 60-fold and 30-fold, right? Isn't that wonderful? But then there's a sad result. You know what? Remember the sad result? Springs up with great joy because the root isn't there. What happens? It's sad, right? Because when trouble and tribulation come, there's no root. And then, of course, the bad result is basically it's there, they hear it, but they just don't understand it. And it doesn't have an... I want to be careful because I have said in the past it doesn't have an effect, but if you read it, it has an effect. Just not the one we desire, right? And the one that God desires. He wants it to have an effect that produces repentance, that produces faith, that, you know, brings us closer to him. That's the desired result. And so it's hard to hear that. But I decided to look, because this is one of my favorite, if you've been here a while, you know this is one of my favorite texts of Scripture, because I'm really big into the identity thing, you know, the covenant identity that we have in Christ Jesus. And so this one, this verse here, and especially starting at verse 14 is always on my heart, because I believe that the thing that Satan wants to get us with, what he always tries to work on, and if we don't have a good relationship with our family, with our, especially, and I don't want to get into the whole psychology thing, but if we don't have a good relationship with our father, our earthly father, then sometimes we have trouble with this. But the reality is, this is the truth that St. Paul is trying to declare to people who are out there sharing the word, who are out there believing what Isaiah 55 says, that just like the rain comes down, the word does not return void, but accomplishes what God is sending it out to do. And maybe the what it accomplishes isn't what we want to see, but it is does have an effect, right? And so when we hear these words, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons, and in this case, could you know, it's children of God. It's just the way that it's written, so don't shoot the messenger. Just recognize it's children of God, sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. I mean, just think about that. Isn't that awesome? I don't know. I can't get through that without pausing and saying, Lord, why is it that Satan desperately doesn't want us to figure this out? Why is it that he doesn't want us to figure this out? He can keep us as slaves, right? He can give us that sense of what you so often hear of people ever acknowledge God in our society. What do they make God sound like? He's up there on his throne just waiting for us to mess up. We've got a, you know, today in Camrose, Alberta, where I grew up, one of my friends who I baptized in 1996, I think, worked on him ever since. You know, I talk about the seed going on. He's actually going to preach on the gospel lesson today, preaching for the second time in his church as the head elder at the church in the town where I grew up. And it's so funny because he told me yesterday, he Skyped me, and we were talking about it, and he says, I don't want you to listen to it because you're mentioned a lot in there because you were the persistent one, because I was. And I didn't get it. The first result I got was a bad result. The second result I got that I seen over and over again was a sad result. Finally, I saw a good result, and now I see when I'm so excited about the fact that he's preaching today, it's a great result. I mean, this is a person that if you would have told me in grade 5 when he was, you know, doing, I mean, he started early on the bad track, okay? I mean, he was the guy that the, you know, his dad was constantly going into the principal's office. Say, oh, there he goes. Okay, yeah. I won't name him because that wouldn't be nice. But, you know, there he goes. There's the dad always going to the principal's office. You know, that was kind of a relationship. But, you know, just amazing what God has done through it. And his whole family. Over the last year, 4 of his family members have been baptized. Now, I'm going to talk about God going from bad to great. Isn't that awesome? So, you know, but that has taken since grade 5, okay? My grade 5, and I'm old. I'm a grandpa, you know? That's a long time. So just stick with it, okay? that's the moral of the story. Stick with it, because God, you're going to hear later, God does not care how old we are. When he calls us and tells us it's time to use our vocation that he has given to us, and it may still be in the job that we had, or it may be in another job. When God calls us, there's no such thing as retirement. Be ready. Be willing, because he is able, right? Okay, so it's amazing because that Abba Father, that wonderful gift that God has given to us, to be honest with Dad, to just, you know, even tell him what we think when we're upset. Even be honest with him, to be totally transparent before our Father who invites us to call him by that wonderful, endearing name, Abba. That's like Daddy. It's a wonderful, simple name in a love relationship with the Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I don't know if I could just encourage everyone. I just wish that we could put that on our computer screens, put it on our phones. Maybe you should put that on your phone so that when it starts up, instead of just seeing the time, maybe you could put children of God. Heirs of God in Christ on there. Could you do that? I don't know if I can do it. I'll have to ask Johannes. But, you know, I don't know if it's possible. But, you know, it'd be nice to put it someplace where it's front and center in our lives, because I wish that we would remember it. Because so often we can, you know, we use our surname all the time and we recognize where we've come from, but yet really if we could understand that we are children of God, and if children then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs or co-heirs with Christ, providing we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. You see, a lot of times people go, oh, suffer with him. The reality is, you're going to suffer whether you're with them or not. I'm just going to be honest with you. Because we live in a sinful world. That one of the prayers was, you know, the mess this world is in, it's tumultuous. We live in a world that is full of turmoil. Recognize that if you're not with them, you're going to be suffering. But if you're with him, at least he gives us the power to live as his people, right? Isn't that what we got in the promise that we received in the Lord's Supper? The power to live as his people. So again, I just wanted to cover this really quickly because I didn't want you to forget this, but this is what we call the covenant principle. God the Father adopts us. Our identity as sons and daughters of God, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ leads us to obedience and glory. And I want to just add there that I want to look today at our identity as sons and daughters of God, because I'll tell you something. Again, I sound like a broken record, but I can't help but stop there and say, do we understand? Do we understand what it means that we are sons and daughters of the King? Do we? Pardon me? It's beyond our comprehension, but it is something that we can hold on to. Promise. I love this. Joint heirs. I thought maybe that would be a good one to put up. I like this one. Life is never boring when you're walking with the King. With a King. And this one I thought was really humorous. I had to throw in something that was humorous because it's so serious. So I'm an heir of God. Yes. And though you might suffer now, the promise of your inheritance allows you to live in patience and hope. What? I just had a vision of God in a Winnebago with a bumper sticker that says, I'm spending my children's inheritance. Whenever you hear the word heirs, sometimes we get the wrong idea, right? So I would ask that you would have a mindset today. And a mindset is a set of beliefs or a way of thinking that determines one's behavior, outlook, and mental attitude. What I'm asking you is to ask the Holy Spirit to give you this mindset that as children, our identity is secure. As children of God, we know that we are in a covenant relationship with God and we can address him as Abba Father. This is another one. I know I am a child of God because his Spirit bears witness with mine. Thought that the kids there was kind of cute. Kind of hard to see, but. So what? How do we live out our inheritance? Well, that's where we call the kingdom. The King gives us his kingdom. He gives us the authority. And I just want to end with this. The authority, we reflect the author. That's what authority means. We reflect the author. We are ambassadors speaking in the King's name. And he gives us the power to do what he promises. Do we walk in that authority? When we recognize that the word has effect, whether or not we get the desired result, the word has effect. The Holy Spirit promises it. Isaiah proclaimed it. Jesus said it. I mean, the word has an effect. And it does not return empty. It does not return void. So my question is, are you walking with authority? Are you declaring the authority that you have as children of God and heirs of God and heirs and co-heirs with Christ? Do you declare when you come across these things in the world that Satan wants to think are huge mountains? Ron and I were talking and he said, you know, it's so many times we tell God about the mountain. And we're concerned about the mountain or the storm, right? We tell God about the storm. And what does the Bible say? As people who are children of God and heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, what should we say with that authority? Reflecting the author, what should we say? We should tell the mountain about God. We should tell the storm how strong our God is and declare it, right? And I'm not a prosperity guy. I'm not telling you to go out there and, you know, declare you want $1 million because chances are very good you're not going to get it. Especially if you're like me, you never invest in lotteries. That's really what it is. It's throwing away money. But, you know, I mean, chances are very good. I'm just talking about the things in our life that the Lord does want us to say to it, be gone. And there's many of those things in our lives. So with that, I wanted to ask James to come up. I don't know, I always call him Jim. I don't know which how he wants to be identified. But I need to, can I give a little bit of background information? Are you sure? There you go. Jim is a student here at Eastern, finishing his social work, right?
Bachelor's in social work.
Bachelor's in social work. Jim came with us at the winter recess down to Mississippi. And I have to tell you, it was really funny because the pastor there, Don Ellsborn, I want to say, is that the right? Yeah. I've known him for a long time. Byron and I went down there many years ago when after Katrina. And he has eye problems. And Pastor Don is an amazing guy. He's done amazing work, and yet he can't see very well. I don't know, what does he have, macular?
Macular degeneration.
Macular degeneration. And so I was sitting there in the office, and Don and Jim are talking to each other, and they don't really know that both of them have similar issues.
Mine degenerates the retina from the perimeters out. His goes from the center, or from the perimeters in. His goes from the center out.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there listening to both of these guys talk, thinking neither one knows that they both have these issues. And so I just thought, this is a God moment. This is where it's fun to be one of God's ambassadors, just to sit there and watch this go on. You know, I could see how John Kerry was probably having fun in Afghanistan this week. Because, you know, it's kind of fun to watch people as they're, you know, they don't even realize what's going on. So I just wanted James to share because God has been working in his life and it's awesome. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Jim. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have put a call on his life again, and Lord, you are just directing him in such powerful ways. Thank you for his faithfulness. Thank you for his willingness to listen. And Lord, thank you that we believe that there's going to be great things that come from your call on this man's life. So thank you, Lord, for his willingness to share today, and bless him as he shares with us.
Amen. Good morning. Some people call me Jim. Some people call me James. Either one works for me. God has truly worked in my life since I came to Cross and Resurrection. I think I'll start back in the late 80s. I felt the call to become an ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and I went to university at Central Michigan, and then I started the process of discerning my call with the I was born in the ELCA, by the way, and grew up in the ELCA. And the two Michigan synods for the Lower Peninsula share a call committee, and I had begun the process of going through a call committee interview in Lansing and visiting seminaries. And I had approached my congregation, and up until this point, the three sons of the congregation that had approached the congregation to go into the ordained ministry, the church had paid the entire tuition for them. So they had a pattern in my eyes. So when I talked to them, I got the word that they were going to set aside $1,100 for me and anyone else that wanted to pursue a religious education through one of the seminaries. I kind of took that hard, especially since about 3 or so weeks later, they turned around and made a $1.3 million mortgage on the church property to build a really, really nice expansion to the church. I thought this was God telling me that this was not my call. So I kind of drifted away from the church. For several years, I would only attend church sporadically. One of them was at my mother's funeral, and then my dad's funeral in 2011. So I finished my degree at Central Michigan University and worked in the Mount Pleasant school systems as a substitute teacher. I decided that social work was my call, so I looked around at 5 different schools. I chose Eastern, partly because my mother attended Eastern before it was even Eastern. And I wanted to be close to home. My parents were still alive at the time. And but they were getting up into their mid-80s. And I didn't want to be that far away, and it was only an hour and 10-minute drive. So I came here. I didn't know there was a church here at the time. This was 2004 when I started here. Right away, my mother started getting sick, so I spent a lot of time at home. In 2007, I stopped going to school. After my father died and I had to dispense with his property, it took me over a year. I decided it was time to go back and finish the social work degree. So I moved back to Ypsilanti the last day of July of 2013. I still hadn't been going to church. The last time I'd been to church was in October of 2011 for my father's funeral. So a friend emailed me and said, you need to get back into church. And he said, there's this little church on Ann Street, which I don't think is too far from where you live. So I looked up the website for Cross and Resurrection, got a lot of information, and then I said, oh, I'll go next week. That next Sunday rolled around, and I decided, I think I'll just stay in bed and sleep. So I said to myself, I'll go next week. And then the urge to go got a little stronger. But I still could fight it. So the next week rolls around. I'm going to go to church tomorrow. Sunday morning rolls around, and I'm like, I think I'll stay in bed and sleep. So this happened 3 times, and each time the urge to go to Cross and Resurrection at least doubled. So that by the time the 4th Sunday rolled around, the urge to go to Cross and Resurrection was so strong that there was no way that I could resist it. And I came here and I met a lot of really good people. In February, I heard about this mission trip to Mississippi. And there was something in me that said, you need to go on that. Whatever it takes, talk to the pastor. You're a poor college student. The two of you can work something out. So I talked to the pastor and I went on the mission trip. On one of the days on the mission trip, I was on the landing. They have a bunkhouse, and on the bottom of the bunkhouse is a kitchen, and all the rooms for the bunk rooms and the bathrooms are on the, I guess you would call it, the second floor. And there's a stairway that goes up to the second floor, and then there's a landing, and then you finish the trip up to the second floor with another 8 or so stairs. The pastor was standing on the landing. I went up and I told him the story of how I had been called, or thought I had been called, to the ministry as an ordained pastor, and how my church had set aside $1,100, everything that I mentioned up to this point. And he looked at me and he said, it's not too late. I didn't soak in. I remember walking down the stairs. I was on my way to the kitchen, stopping at the bottom of the stairs and thinking, wait a minute, what did he just say? And what did he mean? So he was still on the landing, so I turned around, went back up the stairs, and I asked him to explain what he meant by, it's not too late. I'm going to be 54 on Friday. So I thought that going into the seminary was now out of the question. And he said, it's not too late. I can still go. And that was like, within me, reigniting that call, it was like he had taken a match and lit it and thrown it into a pool of gasoline. Whenever I talk about my call to anybody who will listen, I just get this burning desire inside of me. It's hard to explain what that is, but sometimes I feel like I'm just going to blow up and incinerate. It gets that strong. So that is how the Lord God has been working in me, and I believe that now, looking back on it, I wasn't ready. There was still some preparation that I needed. And I was sitting in a meeting a month or so ago, and I had this moment of just complete clarity where everything up until this point has been God's plan for me, God preparing me through social work. And now I want to go on to the master's degree. I'm still waiting to hear about my application through Eastern. But I believe that as a pastor, I will be able to blend being a pastor with the social work and do a lot of really good things for God's people. So I would like to thank God for just leading me to this point. And I would like to ask God to fill me with His Holy Spirit and lead me from this point on and just use me as an instrument to spread His gospel, His good news, to tell people about the blood of Jesus, and to do some really good things for people who are in need. Amen.